Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that is causing you to lose heart? Have you been focusing your lives on Jesus and His Word? And when are the times in which you are afraid? Well, the God who made the heavens and the earth and the seas beneath Him, who has power over all creation, who had power over that water when Noah came out of the ark and brought the flood to an end with His covenant promise and put His rainbow in the sky, it is Jesus who is the fulfillment of God's promises. The Jesus who made the waters is also the Jesus who could walk on the waters and continues to come to us over the waters in holy baptism until that day we're brought to the rivers of water in paradise forever. Today Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." At times, we give up. We forget Jesus, and we are filled with fear. We are in the midst of lives in which the wind is against us. We make our way painfully, and we are haunted by the ghosts of our own imagination. And we see sickness and disease everywhere. So where is hope to be found? In Christ Jesus alone, who says to you simply today, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." First, Jesus says, "Take heart." There are times when we, like the apostles, lose heart. Jesus just finished feeding the 5,000, the bread and the fish, and He dismissed the crowd because Jesus was not about to be made into an earthly bread king because He's the bread of life. And so He dismisses the crowd and He sends the disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a boat to Bethsaida. As they head to Bethsaida, they get into the boat. Evening comes and the boat is on the sea and they are making their way painfully because the wind is against them and they are fishermen. They know about boats, but they can't make it across. It's about the fourth watch of the night, which means it's 3 a.m. in the morning, and they can't make it. And because the pain of the struggle, because of the wind, they can't make it. You and I will lose heart. Things that you experience are painful. You are dealing with your past sins, mistakes that haunt you, wrongs you have done because of your evil heart. Times in which things are against you. Have you ever felt the world is attacking just you and assaulting you and besieging you? My dad used to say, things go in threes. Mom gets sick, the carburetor breaks in the car, and something else is about to happen. I know that's kind of superstitious to say things go in threes, but there are times that you feel like you are being besieged and you lose heart. How can Jesus tell you in the midst of those to take heart? Jesus was up on the mountain alone to pray. He was on the land and He saw the disciples in the water struggling. And He saw that they were struggling. But He didn't yet do anything. You see, when Christ calls us to take heart, we take heart when our eyes don't yet see God acting the way we think He should act. Jesus, who ascended to the right hand of God, who is omniscient and is our intercessor before the throne of grace, sees what you're going through. He sees why you've lost heart. He may not have acted yet, but He sees. He knows your struggles because he's omnipresent. He's with us wherever we are. Our Father in heaven, as St. Paul said, has incorporated us into his family through faith in Christ. The riches of his glory are found in Jesus. Take heart means having faith rooted in God's word when you don't yet see the answer. They didn't see any help when they were struggling on the water, but Jesus saw them. You don't seem to see any help right now, but Jesus says, take heart. I see you and what you're dealing with. Take heart, Jesus says. It is I. There's times when we, like the disciples, don't recognize Jesus. Jesus, in the watch of the night, comes walking to them on the sea. He's going to pass by, and they think he's a ghost. They're terrified, and they cry out. And so it is for you and me. When we forget to keep our eyes on Christ and his word, we forget who Jesus is. They were terrified of the wind and the waves. You have the terrors of the night, the dark night of your soul. Have you ever had a nightmare that was so real when you woke up, it took you about an hour to calm down because you actually thought that it happened? The cries that come out of our confusion, in anguish and tears, we don't understand what we see. Why is this happening to me? Jesus, who says, take heart, says, it is I. Immediately he spoke to them, because they thought he was a ghost, he got into the boat and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded because of their hardened hearts. Even though they saw Jesus feed all the people, the bread and the fish, they had forgotten what Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven that's come down from heaven. If you eat of this bread, you eat forever. Jesus could walk on the water if he could multiply the loaves and the fish. Dr. James Veltz, who's a professor at the seminary, Courtney Seminary in St. Louis, has a very, very interesting comment about all the Gospel of Mark. He says that if you look at the Gospel of Mark, everything seems to recognize who Jesus is as the Son of God. Diseases flee before him. The water recognizes their creator, so Jesus walks on it. The wind recognizes Jesus, for it listens to him when he says, be quiet. The diseases recognize it's Jesus. The people touch the hem of his garment and the diseases flee away. Everything is recognizing this is the Son of God in human flesh, except the people. Their hearts were hardened. And why? In their mind, they couldn't get their mind around the fact that this carpenter's son was God in human flesh. They would come to that understanding, but now they are astounded at what Jesus did walking upon the water. Jesus says, take heart, it is I. You know he is speaking to you in a very real way. When you read the Bible, he's speaking to you. When a sermon is preached, Jesus is using the vocal cords of the pastor to preach. When you were taught by your grandparents or your parents or your Sunday school teacher or your pastor, you were taught the Word of God with a human voice. The church has always seen in the image of the ark or the boat, an image of the church, that he is present with us. The area where he's sitting is called the nave. That's the Latin word, boat. The front of the boat is the pulpit where the captain gives directions to those on the ship. The pastor's in the pulpit, in the nave, in the boat, and we are brought into God's boat through holy baptism. The old Adam is drowned and the new man comes forth. And when you come here through holy baptism, you are in God's ark and in his boat, and we are sailing into heaven. This boat, this place of God's word, where the saints dwell in the depth of the love of God and the knowledge and the fullness of God, is real. You are real people with the real Word of God, with real Christ's body and blood under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of your sins. Take heart, Jesus says. It is I am here with you. And lastly, he says, do not be afraid. There are times in which we are afraid. They came to land, the other side of the sea. The people recognize them and they come from all the villages bringing the sick people on their beds. They implore Jesus to help. They put the people in the marketplace. There were so many. Sickness and disease cause great fear and dread. When you're in the hospital, the worst thing is not knowing what's wrong. And when you find out what's wrong, at least you can begin to deal with it. But these people are imploring from their desperation, help us, Lord Jesus. Remove these sicknesses and diseases. Well, they didn't need to be afraid, because when they came to Jesus, when they touched the fringe of his garment, all those who touched were healed. The diseases and sicknesses fled from the presence of the incarnate Son of God. For you and me, we are called today to not be afraid. And remember, he has touched you. You may have never touched the fringe of Jesus' garment, but he's touched you. Every one of you was touched by water with word when you were baptized. You've heard the word preached and the word of absolution to your ears all of your life. You're about to put in your mouth with the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood. He is touching you now, here in this place, each day. As Paul said, to him who is able to do far more than we ask or think, in the church be all glory for generations forever and ever. And the same word and water that has touched you, touched your grandparents and your parents and you and your kids and your grandkids. For generation after generation, God is faithful. Well, Jesus is the one who could walk on the water, calm the wind, and heal the sick. And he's worthy of your trust. Because he went down into the depths at Calvary's cross and took our wretchedness and sin upon himself. And in his death, death died. And the wrath we deserved was placed upon the Holy Lamb of God. And in his resurrection, he promises you, I give you the royal robe of my righteousness by grace through faith that I earned for you. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. When you believe and have faith in his name, as St. Paul says, one who believes shall be saved. So let your soul trust in him and be filled with courage. So, when you're tempted to give up, don't give up. Don't forget Jesus. Do not be filled with fear. And even though in the midst of your life the wind will continually be against you, and you will make your way painfully, and you might be haunted by the ghosts of your own imagination, and there will continue to be sickness and disease everywhere, we are yet living under the cross. Take heart, Jesus says. It is I. Do not be afraid. Trust me. Look to me in my word. And I will bring you safely into heaven's harbor, paradise, the presence of God forever and ever. And now as you go your way after receiving the sacrament, may you indeed take heart, hear Jesus' word, it is I. And you don't need to be afraid of anything. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds. In faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Continue with the Nicene Creed. On page 158, we stand to confess.